I want to talk to you this morning out of Psalm 55. So if you'll find the big book of Psalms there in the Old Testament, and I'll read a few verses out of Psalm 55 and share some thoughts with you that the Lord's put on my heart. Psalm 55. I want to talk to you this morning for a little while on the terrors of death. The terrors of death. And then tonight, Lord willing, I want to talk to you about the troubles of life. So that ought to be something relevant to every one of us, both of those thoughts. The terrors of death and the troubles of life. So everybody ought to be interested in those two subjects, because you're probably now facing the troubles of life, and you will, guaranteed, every one of you will have to face the terrors of death. Well, you say that's not going to be a very uplifting subject, sermon subject this morning. Well, you know, I think the preacher said in the book of Ecclesiastes that it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. You know, Lord willing, Sandra and I will be leaving on Tuesday, and we'll be gone a few years again, and maybe I, but most assuredly, at least one of you, and maybe more, when the Lord brings us back, if He does bring us back, you'll no longer be here in the land of the living, but you will have made the crossing. You see, every time we leave and come back, there's always some people missing. And we don't have a house full of people, but we do have a number of people here this morning. And I wonder, among us that are here this morning, who's next? Who's next? The young may die, the old must die. And so one of us here is next. You may be next. I may be next. You want to take a good look around the day before you leave? Somebody here among this crowd, and even those who are listening by radio, somebody is next. The death angel is coming for you, and you are next. But I know it's not going to be you. It's going to be that person in front of you, behind you, or next to you, right? Never you. The terrors of death. Look in Psalm 55 with me, please. Here's David writing, and he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me." Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Now let's bow our heads for prayer. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me. I certainly need His help. But it may be that you need His help this morning to hear more than I need His help to preach. And so we ought to pray to that end too, that God will give everyone in the building a hearing ear. Our Heavenly Father, we pray You'll bless this reading of the Word to our hearts. You know the need now of me, Thy servant, and I pray You'll meet the need that I may be able to give out what You've put on my heart. And then for these that sit before me, O Lord, Thou alone art able to open eyes to help people to see themselves and their need. Thou art a merciful God. Show mercy. We ask it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You'll notice that David, and David was not a wimp, a sissy, by any stretch of the imagination. David was a man's man. But here we find David at a point in his life, though he slew Goliath and a lion and a bear with a sling. Yet here we find David, his heart sore pained within him, the terrors of death fallen upon him. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon him, and horror hath overwhelmed him to such an extent that he wanted what I've wanted a number of times in my life, wings like a dove, so I could escape, I could fly away, get away from that windy storm and tempest. I didn't read the rest of the psalm. You ought to. Verse 22, he tells himself, and you and me cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So he got the victory through prayer. And you and I will get the victory through prayer. When we find ourselves in similar situations as is being described in this Psalm 55, have you been there? When the dark angel, the grim reaper, the king of terrors, Job called him in Job 18 and verse 14, when he makes his presence known. Have you been there? The terrors of death, they came upon David. And they come upon every man. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5 and verse 12. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8. Psalm 89 verse 48 said, who is he that shall not see death, that shall deliver his soul from the power of the grave? You and I have an appointment, Hebrews 9 and 27. It's appointed unto men once to die. And we shall keep that rendezvous with death, that appointment. But when that time arrives, I say to you again, the young may die, the old must. And I'm getting old. Thousands to their endless home, this solemn moment fly. And we, that is you and me, are to the margin come and soon expect to die. One writer said, death, thou art terrible. The tear, the groan, the keel, the pall, the bier, and all we dream or fear of agony for thine. And it's true. Men and women in their right minds, and rightly so, fear death. I just want to give you three reasons that people fear death. I'm sure there are others, but these three I want you to think about with me. Men fear death because they fear the darkness. They fear the darkness. Now, there's six kids in the family that I'm a member of. And, of course, Janice is older than me, but she's a girl. And I was the oldest boy. And we used to live in houses that had coal stoves and wood stoves and fireplaces. And sometime when you didn't get enough wood or coal in, somebody had to go outside after dark and get the coal or get the wood in. And I was the oldest boy, and all the rest of them were afraid of the dark. And I was too. But being the oldest boy, I had to suck it up and act like I wasn't afraid of the dark. I've been a few coal buckets. You know those old coal buckets that had that scoop thing on them? I've been a few coal buckets hitting the coal pile in a hurry to try to get a coal in it and get back in the house. It's not so much the dark as you don't know what's out there in the dark. It's the unknown. I could have went to the coal pile in the daytime with no trouble. But in the dark, and I'd try to act like I wasn't afraid of the dark, and I'd even say I'm not afraid of the dark, and I'd get the bucket, and I'd go. My little heart was pounding. And sometimes I'd even make myself stay out there just a minute or so longer, just to try to convince everybody that I wasn't afraid of the dark. But I, like most young people, and some older people, are afraid of the dark. It's just something we don't like. There's something wrong with you, isn't there? If you like to wander around in the dark. Listen what Job said in Job chapter 10 and verse 20, 21, and 22. He said, are not my days few? cease then and let me alone. He's talking to his friends who are bringing him no comfort, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go whence, I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. The land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. You read about people, heard about people who come down to death's door and they say the light is going out, and they even ask people to turn the light on. You see, death, and that passage called death, is likened in the Bible to darkness. And you can search through this world, all that science, all the knowledge that she possesses, all that the philosophers have said and written, all that man-made religion has taught and found out, and if you read all the science, all the philosophy, and all the man-made religion, you'll not find anything that'll shed any light on this thing called death and the darkness that surrounds it and envelops it. Not many years ago, there were a number of books being written by people who had after-death experiences. And they were quite popular, in fact. You know, people flocked to get them. I thought it was interesting that of the 9 people that were brought back to life in the Bible, there is not one word uttered by any of them about what it was like dying and just beyond death's door. The Lord spoke to Job out of the whirlwind in Job 38:17. And he said to Job, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Do you know what it's like to pass through that door, that gate called death, and go to the other side? Well, of course Job didn't know. Job had some faith and some understanding. He had more than Thomas Hobbes had. A learned man who said concerning death, it's a fearful leap into the dark. You know, I'm probably talking this morning to some people, and you have no more hope if death were to come to your house than Hobbes had when he said it's just a fearful leap into the dark. Death has terror and fear because of the darkness. And because of the darkness that envelops the minds of unregenerate people who know not the Lord Jesus. David said in 2 Samuel 22:29 concerning the Lord that he would enlighten his darkness. 2 Timothy 1:10 says that the Lord Jesus Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway, even when it leads through that dark gate and door called death. Thank God, I'm glad this morning that I know him who has the keys of hell and of death. And he'll be there to lighten the way for me. Will he be there for you? Do you know the Lord Jesus? You and I are headed irresistibly drawn on time and the tide of events in our life. Bear us right along to that meeting with death. Are you going to face death with no light? Or do you have the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and the light, the Lord Jesus Himself? I tell you, there are terrors of death, but there's no horror of great darkness for the child of God when his head is resting on that dying pillow. Thank God for it. Men fear death because they fear the darkness. They fear the unknown. Men fear death because they fear loneliness. They fear being alone. Way back there in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, the Lord God said, "It's not good that the man be alone." And He gave him a help that was meet for him. I mean, unless you are absolutely different from other human beings, you crave human company. Now, you like to get alone for a while. You know you get fed up with them. Nobody appreciates you, and you need a little space, and you get a little space, but after a while, you crave human company. You don't want to be left alone. A lot of people, when they get older, and maybe their wife passes on or their husband passes on, and they feel like now they're alone in the world. And it's a great burden to have to be like that in this world. But there's something about being left alone that brings fear and even terror into the hearts of men and women. In Genesis 32 and verse number 24, it says there, "And Jacob was left alone." Psalm 102 and verse 7, the psalmist said, "I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." There's a little bird up on the housetop. No other birds around, and here it is, exposed to all the elements and to every bird of prey. And sometimes we find ourselves in just that situation where we're alone. If you've ever experienced pain that continues on and on, and medicine will only just take a little bit of the edge off of it. But that pain, you've got to learn to live with it. You know, there's something about pain that will isolate you and make you feel like, even though you be in a crowd of people who love you and care for you, you just feel isolated and alone. And you know, I've got the idea from my experience and others that I've talked to and others that I've observed that when you come down to death's door, though you have the nearest and dearest on earth there with you, holding your hand, soothing your brow, yet there is that distance. That death is making between you and the nearest and dearest on earth. A preacher friend of mine stopped and saw me when I came back here from Australia, very sick that time. And he told me he was glad that I was back here, that if I died now, at least I wouldn't have to die all the way around the world away from my home and family. And then he told me about how his father died away from home and how it pained him because he wasn't there to be with his father when he passed from this life into that other world.
and tears filled his eyes. And you know, I thought about that, and I thought about how that no matter if you're there, you can't pass through the door with them. You can't. You can only go up to that point, and then you've got to go by yourself into that land of darkness, into that great unknown. Aren't you glad that in the book the Lord Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Aren't you glad, child of God, that in the book the Lord Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That first song we sang there, how did it go? How'd that last verse go again, Brother Everett, about being forsaken? He promised never to leave me? Is that the way it goes? That's it. I will not desert to his foe. Remind me of a little story I heard. Young preacher been off to school, got a little education, wanted everybody to know it. He's expounding on that Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And of course he knew a little Greek, just as the hymn writer did. And he said, now in Greek, he said, "It's not proper in English to have a double negative like I ain't got no. But in Greek, you can use a double negative or a triple negative. And that's good Greek. In fact, that intensifies the expression." And he said, actually what the Lord's saying here is, "I will never, no, never, no, never leave thee nor forsake thee." And there was a dear old saint of God sitting in the back of the church. And she wasn't impressed with all that learning necessarily. And she leaned over to her friend and she said, "The Lord may have to tell the Greek scholar three times that he'll never leave him, but if he tells me once, that's good enough." Well, aren't you glad that though you and I are headed to a meeting with death, he said, if you know him, not just about him, but if you've met him in the free pardon and forgiveness of your sins, that the Holy Ghost has come and got you and brought you and introduced you to the Lord Jesus, aren't you glad that that same Lord Jesus who took you at just as you were, took you, didn't tell you to clean up or do better, but he just took you. He also promised that he'd never leave you and he'd never forsake you. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Oh, blessed promise in the book for every child of God. You read about the rich man Lazarus, didn't you? You read about how the angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. The songwriter said, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone." Am I preaching to some? and you have no light when you come to the end of the way, and you have no assurance that you'll have someone there waiting on you to usher you on in to the glory world. Oh, I hope I'm not preaching, but I know I am to some who'll fare no better than the rich man. He died and he was buried. They put his body in the ground, but his soul sunk down into hell. Because in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You don't go there. You don't want to go there. You don't want to face death with no light. You don't want to face death with no Lord and Savior. You don't want to do that. You've got better sense than that. You had enough sense to come to the house of God this morning. May God give you enough common sense, good sense, to get right with God if you're not right with God. Men fear death because they fear the darkness. They fear loneliness. Lastly, they fear the witness. The witness. You say, what witness are you talking about? I am talking about the witness that Job referred to in Job 16:19 when he said, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high. Now it brought a little comfort to him, because he was a perfect man, an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And he wasn't afraid to face the record. But what about you? You want to face the witness and the record? God is my witness, said Paul. God is my record. God is witness. Those three expressions he uses. He said, my conscience also bearing me witness. You see, men fear death because they fear what's beyond death. And that's a thing called the judgment. And there's going to be a witness there. God Himself. His holy law. Comprised in 10 commandments. The conscience that He gave every one of us. And your conscience right now is telling you that you're not ready to meet God. You're not ready to face the darkness, the great unknown. Men feared it. Oh, I used to think about it when I was a young fella. I'd think about how I was going to have to appear before God and then all my sins that I'd committed, they'd, just like a pack of dogs surrounded me and started to bark at me. Telling me I was guilty of this and guilty of that and guilty of this and guilty of that. Somehow I knew in my soul that there's a holy God. And I'm going to have to stand before Him. And I have no hope. Moses said to the children of Israel, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Do you see yourself standing there before a righteous and holy God in the other world? And they call heaven and earth to record against you. Heaven. You never lifted up an eye to heaven. You disregarded God and God's heaven and everything there. Earth. Every sin, wicked thought, word, and deed you uttered and committed. All flock there before the throne of God and cry out for justice on your never dying soul. Is it any wonder that we find such a text in the Bible as the terrors of death. I'm glad for that verse we read in Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm not looking forward to the judgment. But oh, friend, you talking about a good lawyer. You talking about an advocate. I and every child of God has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And all those sins, oh, mountains of them, the blood of the Son of God removed all of them, washed me white as snow, and keeps me perfect in God's sight as I daily walked with Him. Well, death's coming for you and for me. You know, I'm probably talking to some people this morning that have the same desire as Balaam did there in the Old Testament, Numbers 23:10. He said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Maybe they understand that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But somehow, though they have that desire, and it's a good one, they never follow up on it with heartfelt repentance and faith in a holy God. Somebody, at least one, maybe more than one, you need to do business with God this morning. You need to do business with God. This may be the last message I ever preach. It may be the last one you ever hear. You may be next in this crowd to make the crossing. You and I don't have a promise of tomorrow. What are you going to do when the darkness comes? What are you going to do when loneliness envelops your soul? And though loved ones are close by, yet they seem to be totally out of reach. What are you going to do when you face that witness in heaven and hear those awful words, depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire? Louis XV, he was king of England, or France rather. And he refused to allow death, even the word or the subject, to be mentioned in his presence. And you know, I realize it's a rather somber subject. You know, there are a lot of American folks, they don't like to think about death. Some of you this morning, you think, I wish he had shut up. I don't want to hear no more about that. And I would, if I didn't fear that some of you are going to die without Christ and without hope. And this is probably my last opportunity to plead with you, to warn you, to try to reason with you. And while I'm doing it, to pray that God will open your heart to the truth Old John Wesley started that movement called Methodism, later the Methodist Church. And someone asked him, "Why do you think that Methodism is blessed of God?" And he pondered for a moment and then he said this, "Our people die well." Well, isn't that the real test of any religion? Our people die well. I'm not sure that modern day Methodists, Baptists, or Presbyterians for that matter die well. But those that truly know the Lord Jesus, thank God, though there are things, a text in the Bible called the terrors of death, yet we know that Jesus tasted death for every man, and because the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. For the loneliness, for the witness that death will bring. You know, if I were you and I felt any desire at all in my heart this morning to get right with God, I'd yield to that. I'd yield to that. Don't do like I did the first time God ever spoke to me, when God spoke to me. I thought if I can just get out of the church building, I'll be all right. I'm glad God had mercy on me, went out the door with me and stayed after me and spoke to me. But oh, that I just said yes, Lord, and got right with God then. If God is speaking to you, he's having mercy on your ever-living soul and speaking to you. I plead with you. Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I don't want to face death alone. I don't want to face the darkness. Oh, Lord, that witness, that record I have in heaven, I need something done about that. I need the blood of Christ to make it right. Oh, listen, if you'll just cast yourself unreservedly upon the mercy of God, I can assure you that the God of this Bible is rich in mercy, that he delights in mercy, and he'll have mercy on you. May God help you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I've done the best I could do now as you enable me to share the message and to try to plead with sinners. Oh, Lord, how inadequate I feel. But I know that thou art a great God, that thou art able. Oh, Lord, thou art able to speak now, to open blinded eyes, to rebuke the devil and every wicked spirit that would seek to hinder any precious soul here this morning from doing business with thee. Oh, Spirit of God, I pray, have mercy now and enable men and women, boys and girls, to do business with thee, to say yes to thee. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I've done what God wanted me to do as far as preaching. Brother Edwards picked out hymn number 81 in your hymnal. If you'll find that, please take a hymnal. Find hymn 81. And when you found it, if you'll stand with me, please. We're going to sing this hymn. And I'm going to ask you, not for my sake, because it's not going to help me one way or other spiritually, but for your sake and your eternal well-being. If you do not know this morning, if you are not sure that you're ready, should the death angel come and visit you, why would you now? If you are clothed and in your right mind, why would you turn and leave without coming this morning now and finding a place here or here or here? Or if you're not able to kneel, come and sit on the front pew, but come and seek the face of God. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to face death alone. I've told you there's hope in Jesus Christ. But if you reject Him, what else can I do for you except weep over you and pray for you? So we're singing, and God is speaking, and I trust that you'll do as the Lord is pleased to speak to you. As we sing, God, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right, we're going to sing another verse. Let me just quote a familiar verse to most of us that know the Bible, that the Lord's impressed me with, in light of where we're at in the service this morning, the invitation. You know, the Bible said, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. And the reason why the Bible said that, because today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. And in light of the message on death, surely you see the connection. For all that are with us this morning who may be in the service lost, what God's saying, whenever you have an opportunity to hear the truth as a lost person and get saved, you better take advantage of that opportunity today. Because today is the day of salvation. Because by tomorrow, death may have already come and paid you a visit, and you could be gone in an eternity unprepared to meet God. And I know, as Brother AJ said, none of us likes to think that death is going to pay us a visit. You know, all men are going to die, as Brother AJ said. But I bet you 99% of the people that die, die unexpectedly. And by that I mean this. They die at a time where they did not expect to die then. And as Brother AJ has already said, why would anybody in their right mind risk waiting for another opportunity to be saved if they're not saved when you know right now you have an opportunity to be saved? And today you can be saved. And now is the time that God will accept you. Because if you wait till death pays you a visit and then try to get right on the other side of death as a lost sinner, it's going to be too late. You've got to make preparations for eternity in this life. You can't wait until you get into eternity to try to settle things then with God. Now's the time. And so we're going to sing another verse. God's spoken. 127, how firm a foundation. And if you're not on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ this morning, you're on shaky ground. There's only one and one alone who can give you what you need for eternity and death, and that's Jesus Christ and His salvation. And so we're going to sing. We're going to sing, "You Come." I suspect that there's probably, well, the Lord knows who they are that are with us this morning. You're probably troubled, disturbed, uncomfortable. And as Brother AJ said when he talked about when God began to deal with him, how he thought, you know, if I can just get out of this service, this will pass. And maybe there's something like that this morning. But I'm telling you, I'm glad if you're troubled, God's troubled you. I'm glad God's troubled you. But getting troubled is not good enough. You've got to come to Jesus and repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ and do like everybody that's here that's saved had to do at one time in their life. You've got to say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And so as we sing this next verse, and this will be the last verse if no one comes, I beg you and beseech you, in behalf of our great God, who so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, so that whosoever among us that would believe on Him might not perish but have everlasting life. I beseech you in behalf of a great God that loved you and every sinner that's in this world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that you might be saved. I beseech you as we sing this next verse, if you're not saved, why don't you come to this great God who sent His Son? You know why He sent His Son? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God sent His Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through His Son, Jesus Christ, might be saved. And here's the sad thing, is that all of us that are saved and know our Bible, we know, and even if you're here lost, you know this, if you die lost and you spend eternity alone in hell without Christ forever and ever, the haunting truth is this, you'll know and be reminded that you might be saved. You could have been saved. You could have been saved. And so we're going to sing one more verse. And I beg you to come as we sing this verse.
Brother
Jeff, Brother AJ, 127. Verse number 5. That soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked to Jesus and Jesus alone and trusted Him for your salvation, for your eternity? Because it's only that soul that has leaned on Jesus for repose. He will not desert to His foes. We're singing, "You Come," if you need to come this morning.
Fear not, I am with
you. You know Jesus?
He will be not dismayed.
Old, young, middle age, you're here unprepared to meet God. Why don't you come as we sing this verse?
And we'll still give thee
Amen.
Aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand.
We're going to sing another verse. This precious lady's come forward and bowed, looking to the Lord. And I do believe there's others that need to be down here joining her, because God loves you so much that He's allowed you to come and providentially put you in a place where He's spoken to you. And He's got you here and He's working in your heart. And now He waits for you to respond, repent, and put your faith in His Son. And so as we sing another verse, You come. Let God help you this morning as we sing.
That soul that Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Okay, we're going to sing one last verse, and if no one comes, we'll close this part of the invitation. Dear lady, still down here praying. And you that know the Lord, you pray in your heart that God would help her and she would get the help that she needs. And she's come forward this morning. But I want to say again, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want to ask you one question. If you have to make the crossing today, what are you going to say to God when you stand before God if you don't have Jesus when you leave this world? How are you going to escape hell and gain heaven if when you leave this world, you don't have God's Son as your Savior and Lord? See, it's not by works of righteousness. It's not by silver and gold that a man gets saved. But it's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If all these other things could save a man's soul and help a person gain acceptance with God in eternity, then why did Jesus have to die and shed His blood? So we'll sing this last verse. If no one comes, this will be the last verse we'll sing. You come.
Deep down to old age, all my people shall prove my constant, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hours shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still on my bosom be born.